The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio. It's time now for the Doctor's Lounge Show with Dr. Hal Schurz.
Welcome back into the Doctor's Lounge. I am your host, Dr. Hal Schurz, and we come to you each week, myself and my co-host, Dr. Scott, with information that doctors are talking about across doctor's lounges across the country. We are trying to provide for you the information that you need so that you can advocate for the health care of yourself and for your family. And we try to arm you with the facts that only we really are privy to. So I'm hopeful that you will support the Docs for Patient Care Foundation, which is a sponsor of our show. The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is the only physician-led healthcare think tank in the country. We stand for the doctor-patient relationship and also for healthcare freedom for all Americans. So please go to D4PCFoundation.org. That's D4PCFoundation.org. And please support our organization so that we can continue to bring this show to you and do all the hard work that we do every day for the health care of all Americans. And I want to share just a little anecdote with you before I launch into the show. I had a patient in my office, and as many of you know, I'm a pediatric urologist, so I was talking with the mom, and became established in our conversation that she was a family practice physician, and asked her where she was practicing, and she told me that she really wasn't practicing. She was so burnt out on insurance companies and on the system that she was really thinking about giving up medicine entirely. So I pulled up out my computer and I went to our website where we have loaded up videos from our last Nuts and Bolts meeting, which was our annual meeting to support direct primary care. And we looked at a few minutes of the videos, and she was just completely flabbergasted and blown away. And she had not considered direct primary care. And she really didn't understand it. She didn't think that it was something she could do, and I convinced her that it certainly was and encouraged her to go to the website and review our videos. And I asked her to get back in touch with me, and I will help her any way that I can connect her with people so that she can stay in medicine and be happy and content with doing what she was trained to do. But she shared with me she was tired of denials from insurance companies. She was tired of only being able to spend a few minutes with each patient. And that's exactly the reason why people go into direct primary care. So if you have an opportunity to go to the Docs for Patient Care website, if for no other reason, just to see the videos of our direct primary care meeting, that will tell you everything that you need to know about what Docs for Patient Care stands for. And I would appreciate it if you would contribute anything that you think you can to our organization so that we can really continue to do our hard work. Well, I have not been behind the microphone in quite a few weeks. I had vacation, and then I got sick. I couldn't speak the last time I was supposed to be on the show, and I'm still not at 100%, so if you hear me coughing or clearing my throat, this is the remnant of what I came down with that kept me from doing a show last time. But it's too bad that it's been such a slow news cycle, and there's really nothing to talk about. We've only had an assassination attempt, an abdication, a coronation, all within this short period of time since I last was with you. So I had already prepared for my last show a topic that had to do purely with a medical issue, but I think that that can wait because I think current events demand that I discuss what's going on in this country, and specifically Kamala Harris. What we have been living through is really what we see in third world countries. We see political opponents being assassinated. We see the powers that be taking a leader out of office and inserting a new leader that the power brokers decide would best serve their interests. This is what happens in Marxist countries. This is what happens all throughout Central and South America. This is what happens in China. This is what happens in Cuba. This is what happens everywhere where there is no democracy. You know, I love the talking points of the Democrats and what is echoed by the media, that we've got to save democracy. Well, it's so interesting that the attributes that the left, and the, I include the media in that, that they attribute to conservatives are everything that they are doing. It's all projection. And they are really the threat to democracy. What we've seen is so anti-democratic. Nobody voted for Kamala Harris. In fact, she is so unpopular that she didn't even get 2% of the vote when she ran in 2020. She had to drop out of the race even before the California primary. So, because Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi felt that Joe Biden was not going to win based on the fact that they could no longer fool the American public after his disastrous debate performance, and they could no longer cover up what they have been keeping a secret for the last 3.5 years, the power brokers in the Democrat Party decided that they would dump Joe and they would insert someone else that had a better chance of beating Trump. Because, after all, they hate Trump, but more importantly, they love power and they want to retain power. So now what we're seeing are tactics that have been used in Marxist regimes, where they are boosting a particular person and creating a fictional narrative to boost that image and make her look better than she really is. This is the love fest that we are seeing take place in the media regarding Kamala. This is expected. This was so predictable. And this is the same media that tore her a new one in the 2020 campaign when they were doing Oppo research and came up with everything that was bad about her. And I'm going to get into some of that a little bit later in the show. So, first, the big lie. We've heard the big lie from the that the conservatives, that the Republicans were responsible for. But it's really the big lie on the Democrat side. And it was that Joe Biden was a robust, very energetic individual, sharp as a tack, able to do backflips, cognitively the sharpest person in a room, when we were able to witness for ourselves the fact that he could not answer questions off a teleprompter. He would mumble his responses. They were incoherent. In addition to that, he shuffled around, or he looked like he had shut-in syndrome, where he was stiff as a statue during the Juneteenth celebration, when everybody is kind of bopping to the music. He looked like he was catatonic. He was acting like a typical dementia patient or a Parkinson's patient or both, or some other neurologic degenerative disorder. And it had led to his diminished capacity, and it had handicapped him. And the sad part is that this is the most powerful person in the world. He is the leader of the free world. And he was a poor example of what that leadership should look like to the rest of the world. He looked like a elderly, impaired, sickly figure. And everybody in the country saw this. Everyone. But you know who else saw this? China saw it. Russia saw it. Iran. North Korea. The terrorists. The cartels. And every other bad actor in the world. And you can figure out what that means. But when we have a person who represents this country, who is as weak and infirm as Joe was, then that is a huge problem that spells trouble, not just for the United States, but for the rest of the world. Now, everyone in Biden's sphere has lied to us for the past 3.5 years. And it's clear that someone else has been running the government. But who? Jill Biden? Barack Obama? Kamala? Or a cabal of leftists who comprise the president's cabinet, who make independent decisions? Maybe Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Homeland Security, or Secretary of State Anthony Blinken? How do you not have a cabinet meeting for almost a year and be able to oversee and orchestrate U.S. policy? It's unprecedented. We've never seen anything like this before. This, everyone, is the end of democracy. Not MAGA, not Trump, not the Republicans or the conservatives. So I ask the same question that you've heard over and over again, which is that if Biden is too infirm to run for office and too infirm to serve another 4 years as the president, how is it that he could still remain president now? Let me ask you something. If your best friend lied to you, and I mean a big lie, maybe she had an affair with your husband, or she told lies among all of your closest friends behind your back about you that were completely untrue. Could you ever trust that person again? That's what Kamala Harris has done for the past 3.5 years. She knew exactly about Biden's condition, and she flat out lied to the American public at every opportunity. You can watch videos. You don't have to take my word for it. She flat out lied. And all the while, I maintain she has been preparing for the abdication and the coronation that we have just witnessed over the past week. She knew she would become the Democrat nominee, and it was happening right under our noses. And how do I know that? Because her campaign is in full swing already with printed materials and swag and other things that take time to manufacture. But she hit the ground running immediately after Joe stepped away. And TV commercials, too. It was all orchestrated. It was all prepared. This is a woman who cannot be trusted. And we know about this woman. The media love fest will soon die down. And once that happens, the truth will come out about her and who she really is. So let me set the table. She is a dyed-in-the-wool California leftist, a San Francisco Marxist. As a senator, she was rated the most left of all 100 members of the Senate. They give scorecards, and they look at their voting records. And the AFL-CIO gave her a 100. Planned Parenthood gave her a 100. The public labor unions gave her a 100. NRA gave her a 0. I mean, it's really very blatant. She was to the left of Bernie Sanders. You've heard this on the news recently. And that is almost impossible to achieve. Now, she may say things that try to convince people that she is a centrist. But we have seen this movie before. Obama did that and then moved hard left. Joe did that and moved even further left. Well, everyone, Kamala Harris is the most left. And if she becomes president, this country will cease to be the USA that we all know and love. We will cease to become the country that our fathers and grandfathers fought for, that our family members died for, that our police officers defend. This is going to become a leftist free-for-all. As vice president, she failed epically at the border. This was her primary job. She was the border czar. Now, the left is trying to say, border czar? Where did that come from? That is a concoction of MAGA, of the right. Well, no, it's not. Fortunately, there is videotape. And I believe that whenever there is an interview with her, whenever there's a Republican rally, they just need to constantly put up the video of Kamala, because she has said things and she has done things that are just so despicable, that are so anti-American, so to the left of the rest of the country, that it is really indisputable who she is. And it was the left, it was Biden that gave her the moniker of border czar. And it was the media that used that term until it was no longer a compliment, but rather a reflection of her failure. And she failed. She was asked why she did not go to the border to assess the situation. She wound up going to the border. She went to El Paso, which was probably the least of the problems at the border, just to satisfy the critics who said she never went to the border. But when she hadn't gone to the border yet, she replied that she hadn't been to Europe either, which is so smug and such a non-answer, but so typical of who she is and what she represents. She lied to the American public over and over and over again about the fact that the border was secure. Well, it wasn't. We all see this. It's what are you going to believe, your own lying eyes or what I tell you? And she's just a blatant liar. As a senator, she said that ICE needed to be abolished and that our immigration policy should be re-examined. She supports open borders, and she believes that we should all end up in the same place in life, equity. That means taking away from people to give to others who are at a lesser position in life. She believes that illegal aliens should vote. She believes that they should get health care and they should get housing and they should get jobs. She is rolling out the welcome mat for the rest of the world. But who's going to pay for this? Well, American taxpayers. And it means that your taxes are going to go up because it's the only way that we can logically pay for all of the things that she is hoping to do. As vice president, she has supported the Palestinian/Hamas protesters, and she has said that they are doing the right thing. She is no friend to Israel or the Jewish people. She is a Rashida Tlaib. She is an AOC. The face is different, but she's the same person. She's the squad, but on steroids. Prime Minister Netanyahu is here in the U.S., delivered a rousing speech in a joint session of Congress. She wasn't there. She is the highest-ranking member of the Senate. She should have been sitting behind him alongside Speaker Johnson, but she decided to snub Netanyahu and instead address a sorority meeting. There wasn't even an official meeting or official greeting for Netanyahu when he landed, which is so disrespectful for a head of state. You might not agree with somebody, but you should at least listen to them. Is this what an aspiring president should be doing? How they should be acting? Ask yourself that question. Is this really the right behavior for somebody who is the sitting vice president, but who wants to be the president, should be engaged in? She's just indecent. She's not a decent person. She's mean, vindictive, and I know a person who personally worked for her who said as much, and she's turned over her staff at a rate that is greater than any other elected official. Almost everyone in her staff that has worked for her has left, having unkind words to say about her. We have an entire career to look back on to get a better understanding about who Kamala Harris is and what she really is about. For those of you who are on watching this on YouTube, I'm holding up a book that came out during the 2020 campaign, and it's very interesting. It's called Profiles in Corruption. It was written by Peter Schweitzer, who is an investigative reporter. He did deep dives into many of the people who were campaigning for president in 2020. And there's a chapter that is devoted to Kamala. And I'd like to share with you some of the things in her history that basically tells you about what kind of person she is. First of all, you have to understand that leftists, Marxists, are not decent people. They are probably the most indecent people in society, because they believe that the public should have significant guardrails, that there should be limitations on everything that the public does, that the government should oversee everything in people's lives, that freedom should be taken away, and that a select few people, a cabal at the very top, should be the ones who decide on what policies there should be, on who gets what, all the while reaping in benefits for themselves, for their families, for their friends. It's really almost like a monarchy. They are sitting on top and everybody else are the peasants. And that's who Kamala is. And that's who the Marxists are. We just saw Bob Menendez get convicted of taking money from foreign countries in exchange for doing favors, basically bribes, gold bars, Mercedes-Benz, cash. This is the third attempt to get him, and they finally did. But this is just one person. There are so many people who engage in these activities. How do you think these politicians become multimillionaires? How is it that Joe Biden has multiple luxury homes on a senator's salary? How is it that Nancy Pelosi can be a multimillionaire? You can say that it's because Paul Pelosi was such a great businessman, but I will show you some evidence or share with you some evidence that this happens because the great business minds are given insider information, or policies are created that enable these people to thrive and make a fortune. Barack Obama supported Iran, the Iran nuclear deal, and gave them pallets of cash. He signed a $30 million book deal with a German publisher that had very strong business dealings with Iran. And I'll let you connect the dots. But, you know, this is what politicians do. And this is what Kamala Harris is all about. So Peter Schweitzer came up. He wrote the chapter on Kamala Harris. And what he was doing was laying out, excuse me, this is what I was talking about with talking, my throat dries up. But Kamala came up through the San Francisco political machine, the Willie Brown machine. And this was one of the most corrupt and powerful political machines in the country. Willie Brown was the most powerful person in California politics. And he had a legal practice on the side, but in addition to running the California Assembly, he did favors for people and got people to donate a fortune to him. And there have been FBI investigations into him, and there have been other ethics committee investigations into him, and nothing really seemed to stick. This is a guy who wore expensive Brioni suits, drove Ferraris and Porsches and Jaguars, and retired from public office in 2004, and at the time purchased an almost $2 million condo at the St. Regis Hotel in San Francisco. Well, Willie Brown took Kamala under his wing. She was a young woman. I think that Kamala was 29. Willie Brown was 60. Willie Brown was married, but that didn't matter. He had an open affair with Kamala, lasted 2 years, and then it broke off. We don't know who broke it off, but it broke off. And then what happened was that she was inserted into certain positions by Willie Brown. She was a Willie Brown operative, and she benefited from patronage from Willie Brown. She was put on the State Unemployment Insurance Appeals Board, which paid her $114,000 a year. This was back in 1994. She was put on the California Medical Assistance Commission that paid her $99,000 a year. And at the time, she was a county employee making about $100,000 a year. So she was raking in a lot of money thanks to Willie Brown. And Willie Brown bought her a new BMW. She really benefited from Willie Brown. Willie Brown became mayor of San Francisco, and she was by his side. And then their relationship broke off, but she was still a very strong political ally of his, and he allowed her to rise up in California politics. Willie Brown wanted her to run for the position of district attorney in San Francisco. The district attorney at that time was a man by the name of Terrence Hallinan, who did not get along with Willie Brown. Willie Brown wanted his person in there, Kamala Harris. And I'm not going to bore you with details or names. I strongly recommend you get this book, but I just want to lay out for you corruption at the highest level. Willie Brown was masterful at getting people to donate money. And Kamala got more money than was allowed by city statutes. And it really didn't make a difference. She took all that money, raked it in. She had to pay a fine for doing so, but it didn't matter. The San Francisco Ethics Committee charged her $34,000, which was a record fine at city elections at the time. But she had over $600,000 that Willie Brown was able to help her raise. And she eventually won that race and became the district attorney of San Francisco. Now, when that happened, there were favors that needed to be paid back. And that's exactly what happened. She paid these favors back in terms of not prosecuting certain cases and prosecuting others. So she portrays herself as a tough-on-crime prosecutor. And she was very tough on crime that meant very little to her. People who were really not connected to her. And by the way, she did not prosecute certain crimes and really let people get off with crimes that they shouldn't. One particular case was a police officer who was murdered by a guy with an AK-47, and she, this is somebody who should have gotten the death penalty, but she came out and said that she would not support the death penalty. And this was against the wishes of some of the most liberal California Democrats, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, even Gavin Newsom. But she came out against it as the DA of San Francisco. She would not prosecute that case. Another case she failed to prosecute was the case against the, the case against the priests who were involved in child molestation. Now, if you remember back, this was big news, and it took place in cities all across the country, where the Catholic Archdiocese in different cities had priests in their cities that were being prosecuted for child molestation. The most notable, of course, was the Boston case. But there were 30 cities large cities that had pending cases. The only city in the U.S. of the 30 large cities that did not have a single prosecution against a priest that was accused of alleged child molestation was, wait for it, yes, San Francisco. Why? It wasn't because Kamala had any connection with the Catholic Church, but so many of the donors to her campaigns, her supporters, they were all tied to the Catholic Church. The Getty family, the J. Paul Getty family, big, big supporters of hers. They were tied to the Jesuit schools in San Francisco. She failed to prosecute any of these cases. There were a number of law firms that were all big donors to her that all represented the Catholic Archdiocese or some of the priests, and they all called in favors to her, and as a result, no prosecutions. And what happened to those abuse records? They disappeared. When Peter Schweitzer tried to find them in researching his book, there was no record of any of this information out there. It had vanished. You know, there was a case when she was the DA in San Francisco where there were sex clubs. They were strip clubs, and they were really prostitution clubs. And the police did a sting, arrested these people, and Kamala refused to prosecute them. Why? Because the people who owned these clubs were tied to Willie Brown. And they called in a favor, and she let this drop. There was a real estate lawyer named Hector Chinchilla, who was the head of the San Francisco Planning Commission. And he took money from developers and he was close to Willie Brown also. And he was tied to a guy who was in the construction business who used substandard materials to build very public structures, like the Bay Bridge and several large buildings in San Francisco. And it was noted that he used concrete that was recycled and substandard, the kind of concrete that falls apart. And instead of facing criminal charges and serving a prison, he was given home detention and just a $427,000 fine. Again, this was Kamala Harris who was responsible for that. The signature program of DA Kamala Harris was the Back on Track program, designed to give first-time drug offenders an opportunity to avoid a criminal record. The problem is that many of the people who were given a get-out-of-jail-free card were not first-time offenders and were not just drug offenders, but were offenders of more serious crimes. And some of these people were illegal aliens. And she stood up for these people and said that she would not prosecute them. She deals with problems by covering them up. She became the California Attorney General. And when she became California Attorney General, she moved to Sacramento, and then she became romantically involved with Doug Emhoff, who's her current husband. And Doug is an attorney, and he worked for a firm practicing mostly corporate law and defending corporations facing charges of unfair business practice and entertainment and intellectual property law matters. Then he started a boutique firm in Los Angeles, but was later tapped to become the partner in charge of a very large Los Angeles firm, Venable LLC, an international firm with offices around the country. So as the partner in charge, he was involved in all the cases coming out of that office, including a parade of corporations who had matters that was sitting on Kamala Harris's desk, the Attorney General of California. One of the most notable cases was the case against nutritional companies, which was a very large case. But just to cut to the chase very quickly, Doug Emhoff's firm represented all of these nutritional companies, GNC, Herbalife, the Vitamin Shop, and consequently, Harris did not prosecute out of the California office any of these nutritional companies, while at the same time around the country, these companies were being prosecuted by attorney generals around the country. One of the worst examples of her corruption was when the Daughters of Charity in California were struggling to maintain their hospitals. This is a order that was dedicated to serving the poor, founded in 1633 in Paris. And the order, by the 19th century, had come to the U.S. and began opening up charity hospitals. But they had difficulty with their six California hospitals because of healthcare costs, and they were suffering an operating loss of $146 million. And so there was a white knight that came to their rescue, Prime Healthcare, which was going to pay the Daughters of Charity $843 million for their hospitals. Well, this was really an easy decision. But unfortunately, the Attorney General has to approve this. Well, these hospitals were not unionized by Services Employee International Union, the SEIU. And the SEIU was one of the major contributors to Kamala Harris's good fortune, all of her campaigns. They called in a favor, and they squashed the deal with PrimeCare, and they tried to get this deal through with other entities that would recognize the SEIU and specifically the hospital workers union, the United Healthcare Workers West Union, UHW, which is a offshoot of SEIU. And so finally the deal was approved to a hedge fund, which did not do what Prime was going to do, which was going to maintain the hospitals, give free care for a while, and specifically to give free care for women, women's care. Women's care was going to be maintained by Prime Care, but when they sold to the hedge fund that Kamala Harris approved, the very first thing they did was shut down women's care. So you've got a person who is directly responsible for shutting down women's health care in California because of patronage to the unions. This is just a snapshot of some of the corruption that she has been involved with. I mean, let me just run through a list of some of the things that she wants. This is what she, first of all, she's no friend to medicine. She's going to give free health care to all illegal aliens. And it'll be Medicare for all. She hates insurance companies. She wants to see them go away and for the government to be in charge of everything healthcare. That means your health. It means if you're a healthcare professional, you will receive your money from the government and she will tell you how much you can make. She believes that in a single payer, and we've talked on the show about that many, many times and what that all means. So this is going to be the end of Medicare as we know it. And there's no senior in this country that should be voting for her with this understanding. And you could go to video. I'm not making this up. Just go to the video and listen to what she has said about these things in the past. This is what's going to happen under her leadership. We are on the precipice. We're on the edge of a cliff. And if she gets elected, we are going over that cliff and there's no way to climb back to the top. It is really, truly going to be the beginning of the end. Here's just a list of the things that she wants to do. She wants to ban plastic straws, ban offshore drilling, ban fracking. She does not support the police. She believes that we should not be consuming beef. We should have a government oversight on that. She believes in the Green New Deal, and she wants to make sure that that happens. In order for that to happen, she wants to pack the Supreme Court, and she wants to get rid of the filibuster. She wants to upend property rights. She's responsible for the smash and grab epidemic that we see across the country because it started in California with soft on crime policies that she enacted as the Attorney General. She would like to see a 70-80% tax rate. She would like the elimination of all cars that run on gas. She thinks that illegal immigration should not be a crime. She does not support the police. She would like to see fewer police. She was responsible for raising bail for all of the Antifa and Black Lives Matter rioters. Not only did she raise bail, but she said that she thinks that they were doing the right thing and they should continue doing that. She believes in gun confiscation. She wants to censor speech, specifically hate speech, and she's the determinant of what that means. She rushes to judgment. If you remember the Jussie Smollett case, she believed that this was a modern-day lynching of a gay and black man, and she came out anti-police in that matter. She pushed back against the California three strikes and you're out law and would not prosecute unless the third offense was a serious or violent crime, hence smash and grab. She is anti-Israel. She is anti, she's pro-Hamas, pro-Palestine. I mean, this is just a list of some of the things that she is for. She's probably one of the most poorly prepared public officials ever. She's lazy and she does not do the work. And so when she's asked to speak, she rambles on. It's sort of like if you're a fan of Cheers and listening to Cliff Clavin speak, but it's worse than that. She has indecipherable word salads coming out of her mouth during speeches or press conferences or any kind of meetings with anybody in the public or even world leaders. Let me give you a few of these examples, which are just unbelievable. On Women's Health Month, quote, "So, during Women's Health Month, we celebrate and we honor the women who made history throughout history, who saw what could be unburdened by what had been. We see suffragettes, the riveters, the marchers, the mothers and sisters and aunts and grandmothers and daughters, all the giants upon whose broad shoulders we stand." What does that even mean? On the importance of community banks, quote, "We invested an additional $12 billion into community banks because we know community banks are in the community and understand the needs and desires of that community, as well as the talent and capacity of the community." Again, nonsense. On relations between the U.S. and Jamaica and the help with that nation's pandemic relief efforts, quote, "We also recognize, just as it has been in the United States, for Jamaica, one of the issues that has been presented as an issue that is economic in the way of its impact has been the pandemic. So to that end, we are announcing today that we will assist Jamaica in COVID recovery by assisting in terms of the recovery efforts in Jamaica that have been essential to, I believe, what is necessary to strengthen not only the issue of public health, but also the economy." Please. Some more. Talking to a reporter about the administration's coronavirus mitigation strategy. He asks, does the administration say, you know, this strategy isn't working, we're going to change strategies, is it time? Kamala replied, quote, "It's time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. Every day it is time for us to agree that there are things and tools that are available to us to slow this thing down. And so right now, we know we still have a number of people that is in the millions of Americans who have not been vaccinated and could be vaccinated, and we are urging them to get vaccinated because it will save their life." On Roe v. Wade, she had an interview with NBC reporter Robert Costa. Quote, "I think that it is very honest. I think that, to be very honest with you, I do believe that we should have rightly believed, but we certainly believe, that certain issues are just settled. Certain issues are just settled. Now, Costa was shaking his head, and he was trying to help, and he said, clearly, we're not. And she said, no, that's right. And that's why I do believe that we are living, sadly, in real unsettled times. Last year, not this past Independence Day, but the year before, there was a horrible day of shootings, 7 dead, 30 injured. And she was asked to reply when she was in Chicago. Quote, we've got to take this stuff seriously as you are, because you have been forced to take this seriously. The whole nation should understand and have a level of empathy to understand that this could happen anywhere to any people in any community. And we should stand together and speak out about why it's time to stop. She gushed about yellow school buses when she was at an event about natural gas-run school buses. Who doesn't love a yellow school bus, right? Can you raise your hand if you love a yellow school bus? Many of us went to school on a yellow school bus, right? It's part of our experience growing up. It's part of nostalgia, a memory of excitement, a joy of going to school, to be with your favorite teacher, to be with your best friends, and to learn. The school bus takes us there. Finally, Harris on Russian gas. Today, show host Savannah Guthrie was interviewing her, and this happened after Ukraine invasion, about Russian oil. She said, is that something the administration would consider in terms of future sanctions, cutting off the oil and gas part of the economy of Russia? And Kamala replied, as you know, on this issue, for example, we applaud Germany in terms of what it has done as it relates to Nord Stream 2, as it relates to what we need to do domestically, as well as what we need to do in terms of this issue. Generally, we have, as the president said, to reevaluate what we're doing in terms of strategic oil reserves here in the United States to make sure that it will not have an impact, or we can mitigate the impact on the American consumer. Understanding that right now on the issue of energy, our allies have stood firm and unified in a way that many of the pundits didn't predict would happen, to ensure that we are unified in our approach to this issue. This is just absolute nonsense. This is going to be the representative of the United States on the world forum, on the world stage. And she just does... she does us no great benefit having her speak, because she cannot put a sentence together, because she doesn't put in the work, she doesn't know the facts, she doesn't know enough to really speak intelligibly. So I've spent an hour trying to tell you who Kamala really is. She is corrupt. She is damaged in her beliefs. They are contrary to American beliefs. She's a leftist, a San Francisco leftist, and it's no surprise that somebody like Nancy Pelosi would be supporting her wholeheartedly. And if that's the case, then you know everything you need to know about who she's about. So this information will get out there, and the Love Fest will be over, and I strongly urge you to really look into what she's all about before anybody considers pulling the lever for her in November or sending in an absentee ballot with her name on it. Thanks for being with us today in the Doctor's Lounge. I'll be back here behind the mic in 2 weeks, hopefully completely healed and not coughing or sneezing. Thank you very much for being with us.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.